Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good morning. Breaking news. Mixing it up. The FDA planning to allow Americans to mix and match their COVID boosters, according to a new report, in an effort to make the shots as effective as possible. So what would the new approach mean for millions of Americans? We will have everything you need to know. Breaking overnight, ransom demand. The Haitian gang behind the kidnapping of those American missionaries reportedly asking for $17 million for their release. The FBI and the State Department now with teams on the ground working to free the 12 adults and 5 children being held hostage for a fourth day. We're live with the very latest. Battle lines. Former President Trump files a lawsuit to block the committee investigating the January 6th insurrection from getting his White House records. Just ahead, the reaction in Washington and today's vote on holding Trump's former advisor Steve Bannon in criminal contempt for defying his subpoena. Honoring an icon.
One of our great military leaders and a man of overwhelming decency.
Tributes pouring in for Colin Powell, one of the most influential military and political figures in history, dying after a battle with COVID, a loss especially hard on the leaders he blazed a trail for.
I lost a tremendous personal friend and mentor.
Straight ahead, how General Powell's legacy is being remembered. Those stories plus Katie Couric Live, the former Today Show anchor opening up like never before in her new memoir. She'll talk about going there. And busting loose.
Trying to get the big guy going, and he's going!
The Tennessee Titans take down the Bills, led by star running back Derrick Henry, and a last-second stand by its defense.
Allen leans forward, and I don't think he got there!
We'll have the highlights from yet another thriller in the NFL. Today, Tuesday, October 19th, 2021.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Well, good morning and welcome to Today. It's a very busy Tuesday morning, so happy you're with us this morning.
Yeah, nice to have you along. We've got a lot of breaking news to get to, and we'll start with the FDA, now reportedly on track to allow Americans to mix and match their COVID booster doses.
However, the agency is not expected to recommend any one shot over the other and could suggest getting the same booster shot as your original vaccine when possible.
It comes as the showdown over COVID mandates intensifies, with one university firing its head football coach overnight for refusing to get vaccinated.
In a moment, Dr. Ashish Jha will weigh in on that changing approach to boosters. But first, NBC's Megan Fitzgerald is in Chicago with the very latest. Hey, Megan, good morning.
Guys, good morning. Yeah, the president of the police union here in Chicago says a third of the police department here has defied the mayor's vaccine mandate order, which means they could lose their job. Meanwhile, federal regulators may be coming up with a new plan to increase the efficacy of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
This morning, one step closer to a boost of immunity. The FDA is reportedly expected to approve mixing and matching COVID vaccines. It comes after researchers found antibody levels for Johnson & Johnson recipients increased 76 times 15 days after receiving a Moderna shot. Approval may come as soon as Wednesday, alongside the expected authorization of Moderna and J&J's booster shots. That's according to reports from the New York Times and Washington Post, but not confirmed by NBC News. The government would not recommend one shot over another, and it might note that using the same vaccine as a booster when possible is preferable, according to the New York Times, citing people familiar with the agency's planning. It comes after months of confusion after the Biden administration publicly backed booster shots before they were approved, followed by uncertainty over whether mixing and matching boosters, particularly for those vaccinated with J&J, is advisable. As the battle over those who haven't gotten the vaccine heats up, and some high-profile fallout in Washington state, which requires employees to get the jab or lose their job. Washington State University announcing overnight it has let go of football team coach Nick Rolovich, along with four of his assistants, for not complying with the mandate. Police unions also pushing back, including in Chicago, where the mayor's vaccine mandate has been in effect for 3 days. But only about 65% of the police force is vaccinated. That means thousands of officers' jobs are on the line.
There's too much government control in that. You're going to tell me what I'm going to put in my body. That's my choice.
What do you say to the mayor who says that these officers swore an oath to protect the citizens of Chicago?
They're not refusing to protect the citizens of Chicago. The city, the department, is refusing to let them protect the citizens of Chicago.
And to just underscore the importance of this vaccine, I want to give you some new numbers here. The United States has surpassed 45 million COVID cases. We are looking at more than 750,000 deaths from COVID-19 in this country. Savannah, sadly, this pandemic is far from over.
Megan, thank you very much. We want to turn to Dr. Ashish Jha. He's the dean of Brown University School of Public Health. Hi, Dr. Jha. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back, Savannah.
So there are reports that the FDA is looking to green light this mixing and matching of the booster shots. How do you think that will play out, and what does that mean?
Yeah, I think this is good news, Savannah. And let me say there are two good reasons. One is, clinically, all the data says that mixing and matching is just fine. There's no downside, and may even be a little bit better, particularly if you're a J&J recipient. The second part is, of course, the logistics. You don't have to worry about getting a Moderna shot if you got Moderna before, or Pfizer shot if you got Pfizer before. You really can get any of the vaccines as a booster, and it will work just as well as if you got the original.
So if you did get the J&J, does it make sense to then seek out the Moderna or the Pfizer?
You know, there's one study on this. It's not a huge study. It does seem to suggest that you get maybe a bit more of a short-term benefit. What I've been saying is the most important thing is people should go ahead and get that second shot if you got J&J. If you can, probably makes sense to get Moderna or Pfizer, but that's definitely not definitive. Much more important that you get that second shot.
Well, we're getting real practical here, but if I got Moderna to start, is it better to get the Pfizer, for example? I mean, I guess I'm asking, is there a benefit to mixing and matching?
Yeah, if you got Moderna or Pfizer, I see no data that says that there's any downside. I also don't see any data that says there's an upside. It's probably the same. So get whichever one is convenient. I don't think it makes a huge difference.
And finally, a lot of people are, of course, mourning the passing of General Colin Powell, who was vaccinated but died of COVID-related complications, a breakthrough case. He was also battling cancer. What would you say to those who see that and then find themselves confused about whether or not the vaccine really does protect from serious illness and death?
Yeah, so there's no question vaccines do prevent serious illness and death, obviously not 100%. You know, General Powell was immunocompromised. He was battling cancer, and he was obviously an older gentleman. And part of what happens in a pandemic is we need to protect ourselves through vaccines. We need to protect each other by keeping infection numbers low. When a lot of infections are happening in the community, unfortunately, vulnerable people may still get a breakthrough and get into trouble. That's what happened with General Powell. It's really important not to confuse the vaccines, which are working, with the fact that more broadly, we've had too many infections in our community.
All right. Dr. Ashish Jha, as always, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Turning now to the very latest on the efforts to free those 17 missionaries being held hostage by a Haitian gang. The FBI and other U.S. officials are now on the ground there. And overnight, there's a report the kidnappers are demanding $17 million for the group's release. NBC's Sam Brock joins us with more now. Hey, Sam, good morning.
Hoda, good morning. $1 million per person, according to the Wall Street Journal. The justice minister in Haiti also saying this situation could take weeks to resolve as we learn more information about the reported ages of the kids being held hostage.
Overnight, a major request for ransom. The Wall Street Journal, citing Haiti's justice minister, reporting the gang responsible for the kidnappings wants $1 million per person. That's $17 million total. The justice minister also telling the journal that the five children kidnapped include an 8-month-old baby, and the other kids were 3, 6, 14, and 15 years old. The FBI and State Department have both dispatched teams to Haiti, with White House officials keeping any potential plans to free the 17 people, nearly all Americans, under wraps.
The president has been briefed and is receiving regular updates. Due to operational considerations, we're not going to go into too much detail.
The kidnapping by a notorious gang, putting a sharper focus on Haiti, a country ravaged by extreme poverty, political instability, and natural disasters. Protesters in Miami calling on the U.S. to stop deporting Haitians. The U.S. has pledged money and training for Haitian police forces, though by one study, kidnappings have jumped 300% in 3 months. Dr. Richard Frechette, who runs a hospital in Port-au-Prince, telling us by phone he has to negotiate with gangs to get oxygen for COVID patients inside.
Sometimes we have real hair-raising days facing shortages. You can imagine if we have 65 patients, 40 will be dead in an hour the minute we don't have oxygen. That's how bad they are.
From priests and police to school children, no one in the country is off limits.
Every single day, they kidnap at least 20 to 25 people in Haiti.
Every single day?
Every single day, they kidnap you. Your family doesn't have no money. What they do, they kill you.
We have reached out to the office of Haiti's justice minister. So far, have not been able to independently confirm that information, but he does tell the Wall Street Journal he is concerned that any ransom money would go to more guns and more ammunition. Hoda, back to you.
All right, Sam Brock for us there. Sam, thank you.
Lots more to get to, including the congressional investigation into the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Former President Donald Trump now suing to block any handover of documents. And later today, the House committee examining the attacks is expected to vote to recommend former top Trump advisor Steve Bannon be held in criminal contempt. NBC senior Capitol Hill correspondent Garrett Hake has the story. Garrett, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning. The members of that committee say they fully expected this Trump lawsuit, which they believe is designed just as an attempt to slow down their investigation. But with tonight's vote, they're hoping to show that they're still moving full steam ahead. The battle between former President Trump and the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol heating up this morning. Mr. Trump continuing to fight against the committee's examination of his actions before and during the insurrection.
If you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
His suit seeks to prevent the National Archives from turning his White House records over, saying it's an effort by Democrats to distract from President Biden's drop in the polls by focusing on the riots.
But there was also a love fest between the police, the Capitol Police, and the people that walked down to the Capitol.
The suit, calling the investigation an illegal fishing expedition designed to unconstitutionally investigate President Trump. The committee's chairs vowing to fight and also targeting Trump allies, planning a vote tonight to recommend holding former top Trump aide Steve Bannon in criminal contempt for refusing to testify or hand over documents related to his alleged role in the insurrection attempt. Bannon warned of the coming chaos on his podcast on January 5th.
All hell is going to break loose tomorrow. It's going to be moving. It's going to be quick.
In letters to the committee, Bannon's attorney argued Bannon is legally unable to comply and had been instructed not to provide documents or testimony by Trump.
People, when they're subpoenaed, need to show up. And if they don't show up, they need to be prosecuted.
The battle over Bannon's testimony comes down to who has the right to invoke presidential executive privilege. Mr. Trump says he can shield the aide he fired back in 2017 from testifying, but President Biden says that's his choice to make, and he wants anyone potentially involved in January 6th to testify. Savannah, it's a question the courts are probably ultimately going to have to settle.
Yeah, long road ahead on that, Garrett. Thank you very much.
Tom Yamas in for Craig, and we turn to the growing tributes for the life and legacy of Colin Powell. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you. That's right. Flags are being flown at half staff at the White House and across the country as the nation honors the groundbreaking general and former Secretary of State. The 84-year-old Powell passed away yesterday from complications of COVID. He also had battled blood cancer and Parkinson's. NBC's Andrea Mitchell covered General Powell for decades. She joins us now with a closer look at this remarkable life. Andrea, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Well, General Powell was indeed a trailblazer and an American icon. A decorated Vietnam combat veteran, he helped reshape the U.S. military during his 35 years of military service before becoming Secretary of State, serving four presidents.
This morning, the nation paying its respects to Colin Powell, who spent a lifetime breaking barriers. The son of Jamaican immigrants, he rose from the ROTC to four-star general, later becoming the first African-American chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and then the first black Secretary of State. Powell broke from Republican ranks to endorse Barack Obama in 2008.
I think he is a transformational figure.
The former president reflecting that Powell understood what was best in this country and tried to bring his own life, career, and public statements in line with that ideal. President Biden Monday.
He's not only a dear friend and a patriot, one of our great military leaders and a man of overwhelming decency.
A mentor to countless soldiers like Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
And I feel as if I have a hole in my heart.
We were with him in Afghanistan in 2002.
What is it going to take to put the country back together?
It's going to take the effort of the entire international community.
A year later, Powell argued privately against the Iraq war, but to his regret, told the UN that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction based on false information he was given by the CIA.
What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
Powell, who supported President Biden in 2020, was a fierce critic of former President Trump, blasting Mr. Trump after January 6th in an interview with Savannah.
He is responsible for is one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in all my years as a government employee.
Beyond his public profile, this viral moment from 2 years ago, when Powell's car got a flat, a military veteran and amputee pulled over to help him fix it.
I walked up to him. I said, "You're General Colin Powell." And he said, "Yes, I am."
I knew he was one of me.
The general also sharing these powerful words to graduates at Howard University.
Above all, never lose faith in America. Its faults are yours to fix, not to curse. America is a family. There may be differences and disputes within the family, but we must not allow the family to be broken into warring factions.
Despite his many accolades, perhaps Powell was most proud of his distinguished military service, always preferring to be called general, even after serving as Secretary of State. He was also proud of his center at the City College of New York, helping to educate many immigrant and first-generation students like him. Tom?
A life dedicated to public service. All right, Andrea, thank you.
A lot of great loss, yeah. And a lot of people actually are asking questions about his passing and the fact that he died of COVID complications, even though he was, of course, vaccinated. And we'll have more on that story and some of those questions a little bit later.
Yeah, it is 7:16. Mr. Roker, wow, you're talking snow.
We're talking
already?
Little snow. This is Salt Lake's outside of Salt Lake City snow basin. They picked up about 8 inches of snow. And so we are going to be looking at this because we need the snowpack out there. California has seen their driest year since 1924, reservoirs way, way down all across the state. And here's the latest, what we're looking at today. We expect to see this drought just to continue. The 2021 water year ended September 30th. They've only got 50% of their average rain and snowfall. It's the second driest year in 125 years. Drought emergencies in 50 of 58 counties. 87% of the state is in extreme drought. But there is some good news. They got three storms stacked up out across the Pacific. They're going to be pushing on in here, bringing rain on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right on into Friday. And that is going to help impact the wildfire situation, hopefully diminishing it and maybe put a little bite into that drought. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Coming up, Katie Couric back in Studio 1A.
That's right. She's got a headline-making new memoir. It's called Going There. We'll talk about that and more with Katie. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We are back, 7:30 now, Tuesday morning, 19th of October, 2021, with a look at our little corner of Rockefeller Plaza.
We love our little spot. We're going to head outside and say hello to our friends out there in a bit. It's a little chilly this morning, but we're going to bundle up, too, and say hey.
A little chilly in the studio, too. Yeah. Well, let's get to your headlines here at 7:30. Transportation officials in Washington, D.C. have taken more than half of the city's Metro System train cars out of service following last week's derailment. It's due to a possible safety issue with the wheel assemblies. More than 700 train cars were pulled offline, leading to reduced service and longer wait times. Nobody was seriously injured in that derailment, but officials say they've known about an issue with wheel assembly since 2017 and are working to resolve that problem.
Now to some heart-stopping video out of Southern California. A drone captured these images of several great white sharks swimming near a group of surfers. This happened right off the coast of Del Mar, just north of San Diego. Experts say they appear to be juvenile sharks based on their size, and it's actually fairly common to see them this time of year. Thankfully, though, nobody was hurt.
Savannah, over to you.
All right, Tom, thank you. Well, Katie Couric, who sat in this very seat here at Today for 15 years, has a new memoir out later this month. It's called Going There, and she's here to talk about it. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Hi, Savannah.
This is weird. Tables are turned.
I know.
What you really put it out there in this new memoir. It's all about grief, loss, successes, failures, breakups, boyfriends, family skeletons.
Yeah.
Why did you want to write a memoir like that?
Well, I couldn't imagine writing something that wasn't honest and sort of radically transparent. I didn't want to do like a victory lap or my greatest hits. I mean, I think I've had an extraordinary life. I've had incredible opportunities. As you say, I've had huge successes. I've had some pretty public failures, too. I've embarrassed myself. I've been proud of myself. And I think one of the reasons is, and you can relate to this, Savannah, I think people have always said, I feel like I know you. But as I say in my prologue, the box puts you in a box, the flat screen flattens. And I wanted to kind of share the messy parts, what real life was like.
So is this the real Katie, this book?
Yeah,
is the real Katie?
Well, I think it connects with people on a very deep level. And I think you see all sides of me and my truth. I feel comfortable with that. And I think it's really, it's such a fun ride. And I think it's kind of an emotional roller coaster. And as you said, I deal with everything. It's a real, it's the whole kit and caboodle, as my mom would say.
Well, let's get one thing out of the way, because it's very blunt. I mean, you said it's honest. The publisher calls it brutally honest. And you, I mean, you take your shots. There's some snark. Are you worried about the reaction that might get?
Well, first of all, I think it's been wildly misrepresented. I don't think the tone and the spirit and the content of the book is like the tabloid headlines that I understand are kind of portraying it. I think it's actually really, it is honest, but it's very complimentary about many, many people. And, but yeah, listen, I wanted to be honest and I wanted to talk about my experiences, honestly. It's really about my journey. And I think I'm harshest on myself. It's very self-critical, very, I think, introspective. And, you know, I call myself out on a lot of things because I think it's most important to be honest about yourself and your own actions and your own, you know, behavior and attitudes. And I think what was really interesting about this book, Savannah, is I graduated from college in 1979. I got into the business in 1980. So I got to witness really seismic societal changes. And so I wanted to talk about my personal story against this backdrop of a change in attitudes and how we see things very differently in 2021 in a good way.
Let's get into it, because you do chart this meteoric rise in the news business. In a way, you were an overnight sensation, and a lot of people know that. But what did you want
I
to
I wasn't
convey?
Really an overnight sensation,
Well, to
though.
Everyone else, it seemed like it. I know you toiled.
I worked hard in local news and at CNN.
Everyone has that perception, though, that you just kind of came onto the scene, and then you were famous and America's sweetheart. But what did you want people to know about the boys club that you encountered and what it was really like in the news business in
those days? I think early on I encountered a lot of sexism. Someone the other day said it was casual sexism. I said, I don't think there's anything casual about it. You know, I tell a story at CNN when I was 26 and I walked into a meeting of male executives and one woman and the vice president said, that's not why Katie's successful. She's successful because of her hard work, determination, work ethic, and breast size in front of a whole group of executives. And at 26, I wrote him a scathing memo asking for him to apologize. And I think in many ways that set the tone for the rest of my career. But, you know, I think there was a very male-dominated industry run by men. Very few positions for women. And I've always said women need to be behind the scenes to really change things. And I think you're seeing that now.
Well, let's talk about that because you talked openly about female mentorship. You said you were had your own insecurities. Mm-hmm. You know, you felt like you had to protect your turf. Those were your words.
Yeah.
Are you, I mean, do you regret that now? I mean, what's your perspective on it now? You
yeah.
had said, I was less welcoming when charismatic female correspondents entered my sphere. There were only a few coveted spots for women. I felt like I had to protect my turf.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's brutally honest, mm-hmm. you know? I think that I have mentored scores of women. Many of who still work on this show and in the control room. Hi, ladies. But, you know, I think that when there are very few jobs for women and men are making decisions not necessarily based on, you know, the right criteria, that sometimes you do get insecure and sometimes you do get territorial. I think it's human nature. I think anyone in a high-profile position in a coveted spot. And I think even outside the TV industry, both women and men have felt that occasionally. I just was honest enough to admit it, I think.
And to be clear, did you ever actively try to sabotage
never,
another female
never,
on-air correspondent?
Never. I think I just wish that maybe I had extended myself more and shown people the ropes a little bit more. But I think when people are outwardly kind of vying for your job, it is hard to be generous, I think.
Well, let's talk about your time here at Today Show. You were here 15 years.
Yeah.
9 of them, your partner was Matt Lauer. You talk about the book wrestling with, trying to come to terms with the accusations against him. What did you ultimately conclude?
You know, that was really, really hard. And it took me a long time to process what was going on because the side of Matt I knew was the side of Matt I think you all knew. He was kind and generous and considerate, a good colleague. And, you know, as I got more information and learned what was going on behind the scenes, it was really upsetting and disturbing. And I think then I did some of my own reporting. I talked to people. I really tried to excavate what had been going on. And, you know, it was really devastating, but also disgusting. And, you know, I think what I realized is there was a side of Matt I never really knew. And I tried to understand why he behaved the way he did and why he was so reckless and callous and honestly abusive to other women.
Were there things that you, in the course of writing this book, you looked back on, stories or memories that you came to see in a different light?
Well, you know, there's always gossip in television news, and I think there was gossip here and there about certain people. And, you know, I think it was a very permissive environment in the 90s, and I think permissive environments often result in serious transgressions. And, you know, I think back then it was sort of like you felt like it was none of your business, and nobody ever came to me to talk to me about it. And I think our notion of what a consensual relationship has changed dramatically, and you have to consider the power dynamics. I'm sure you've learned a lot about this, too.
You talked about after his firing, grappling with whether to continue that friendship, and you even include your actual text messages that you had with
yeah.
Matt. You kept them. Where does that relationship stand now?
We have no relationship. You know, I think I used those text messages because I thought they were very illustrative of how our relationship devolved and ultimately deteriorated. So I thought that was a powerful way to kind of really let the reader in to my thought process. And as I got more and more information, how it was harder and harder for me to reconcile these two sides.
Talking about journalism, and this is very much a journalism story, you did make an eye-opening revelation about an interview you did with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You decided to leave out newsworthy comments that she made on the subject of kneeling during the national anthem.
Yeah.
How did you justify that? It violates a cardinal rule of journalism to
well,
do that.
I think what people don't realize is we make editorial decisions like that all the time. And I chose to talk about this and put it in the book for a discussion. I mentioned that it was a conundrum that I asked Justice Ginsburg about Colin Kaepernick and taking a knee and how she felt about that. And I did include the fact that she said it was dumb and disrespectful. It was stupid and arrogant, and quite a bit of what she said. There was another line that I thought was, I wasn't sure what she meant exactly, and I thought it was subject to interpretation. What I wish I had done is asked a follow-up to clarify, or just run it and let her clarify it later. But I think the most pertinent and direct response to the question about Colin Kaepernick, I included. And that's why I raised it, because maybe I should have done the other sentence as well.
Let me push you on it a little bit, because she did make those comments. You said in the book that you wanted to protect her.
Yeah.
So that's not an occasion where you're using that objectivity that's so important to us journalists. And the question is whether that undermines journalism at a time when reporters are under attack for bias like
that. You know,
that.
I think Justice Brandeis says sunshine is the best disinfectant. And I think the more we can be transparent about the decisions we make, and the more we can say, maybe that wasn't the right one,
do you think
the
it
better
was
off
wrong
we were.
Now that you look at it in the
light
of day?
Yeah, I think I should have included it. But I also think it's really important to look at what I did include. She had to make a statement afterwards saying her comments were harsh and dismissive. I think I still believe I used the most critically important response. But I think you're right. It might have illuminated it even more if I had included that other statement.
It's a journalism story. It's a personal story. Katie, you have had to deal with unthinkable loss in your life. You lost your husband, Jay, when you were just 42 years old. You had two little girls.
I was 41. He was 42.
Yeah. And reading those chapters moved me to tears, what you had to deal with. How hard was it to relive that with your girls?
To, you mean rewrite it or write it?
Relive those memories of Jay's passing.
You know, it was really hard. I was very private, you know. I lived this out in a very public way, but I was really private because I felt like it was not my story to tell back then. This was happening to Jay, not me, as my dad reminded me in the hospital. And, you know, it was heartbreaking. And I think I hope that those chapters will help people deal with terminal illness and loss. I have a lot of regrets. Jay and I never really talked about the fact that he could die. I was terrified to give up hope. And, you know, it was devastating. And I really wrote this book for my girls. I dedicate it to Ellie and Carrie, because I really wanted them to get to know the father they never got to know. And they both called me in tears. And I think they're grateful for the book. And I think that I wanted to write a book that showed me as a person in full, you know, with imperfections and shortcomings and great success and great moments of triumph. I wanted them to see you don't have to be perfect. And things can happen, and you can be resilient and move on.
Well, on a lighter note, as we like to say in the Today Show,
yeah.
There's a lot of fun in this, too, including, and now we're out of time, an offer of a date with Michael Jackson. Okay, you're here for the later hours. You're going to have to get into that one.
Yeah, I just got a text from Rabbi Shmuley about that.
That was your matchmaker with Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go there later. Katie, thank you for your time this morning.
You're welcome. The book
is called Going There. Katie's going to be back in our third and our fourth hours to talk more about it. For now, though, send it over to you, Hoda.
All right, Savannah, thank you so much. Coming up, some answers to questions being raised by the loss of Colin Powell. The confusion surrounding the coronavirus and vaccinations that doctors are hoping to clear up. But first, these messages.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome back. 7:48. Shall we check in the weather with that?
Yes, what's
Mr.
shaking?
Well, things aren't too bad across the country. We're looking for winds starting to increase out west. Some mountain snows getting themselves together in the Rockies. It is going to be picture perfect in the eastern third of the country from Texas, Great Lakes, Mid-Atlantic, Northeast, all the way down into the Gulf. That's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Coming up, inside the event being hosted by Prince William at Kensington Palace today, honoring his mother, Princess Diana. We will take you there live and tell you why Prince Harry is not attending. But first, these messages. Just ahead, an adorable Today exclusive.
Look at those faces, a petite mom and her adorable twins. They are taking over TikTok, and she's going to join us live after your local news.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.